During this season of Lent, I am trying to stay disciplined to reading the devotions from this daily devotional that the church has made available to all of us. God is speaking to me in these readings, and I pray that He is speaking to you as well. I will once again start with today's devotion because I think it matches very well what we are speaking of. The text for today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David said to the Philistine, the giant, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Certainly, David's dream of victory over the Philistine giant was impossible. He was still a boy. How could he go against a terrifying giant trained in warfare and armed to the teeth? What a foolish dream. What an impossible task. But David was undaunted, not because he was so formidable a warrior, but because he knew who the champion really was. The one who could win in his dream was the God who was with him. Now, it doesn't always work out that way for us. We face our giants too. We have our dreams of victory, but sometimes we base our dream on our own ability. We are adults, after all. We've seen the terrors of life before. We are not unequipped. But then the giant doesn't fall. The trouble does not yield to our plan. We stand before a broken dream. But even then, it is not too late to lean on the one who has won the victory for us already. Jesus has promised to stand with us, to pray for us, to never leave us. We may not always stand victorious, but we can never really lose. The prayer says, "Promising Lord, give us the strength of faith to stand against the giants of this world, not by our own power, but by yours." We find ourselves up against giants in this world. How big are they? As big as we allow them to be. They are as big as we allow them to be. When we try to tackle them in our own strength, they are insurmountable. They will beat us down. They will win every time. God, our faith, levels the playing field. Let me restate that. That's even wrong. He more than levels the playing field. When we go into these battles with God in mind, when we include God in the battle, we will win. It is not an uphill battle any longer. We are looking down at the battle. We have the advantage, but too often, we want to battle in our own strength. Too often, our attitude is, "I can do this, I can do this, I can take care of this. Lord, this is too small for you. Don't bother with this." And then whenever we are standing there defeated, we finally turn to God. It is God that will win the battle. And with God on our sides, if we include Him, we will win. Now today I have a special dedication for this sermon. You know I always dedicate the words that God gives me to His glory, and I do that as well today. But today, this week, it is appropriate to dedicate what God brings out of this scripture to a man that preached it more effectively than anyone who has ever picked up a Bible, Reverend Billy Graham. He passed, and the world barely noticed him. And that's exactly how he would have wanted it. He would not have wanted a big deal made out of the fact that he passed away. He would have rather had a big deal made out of the way he lived his life. He would not have cared for a big procession, for it to be all over the news for great coverage of his funeral. That was not the man at all. He cared about the souls of mankind. He cared about the people that he came in contact with. He preached to millions all over the world the same message over and over. He said, come to Jesus Christ. It wasn't complicated. He didn't use great big words that you could hardly understand. He didn't use all of the biblical knowledge that I'm sure he had. It was a very simple message. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Jesus saves. Make this choice the choice of a lifetime. The way that God works, I have been struggling a little, and I do that from time to time. My witness for the gospel of Jesus seemed to be very little, and once again, let me restate that, no fruit. I wanted to say to God, you know, I'm trying here, Lord. I'm really trying here. In my own strength, I was trying. But you see, that's the secret. And I forget it all the time. I'm sure you do. You go through life and I try as hard as I can in my strength to tell people about Jesus Christ. I try as hard as I can in my strength to make it happen. And I think, why isn't it happening? And I remember that I'm not including God and I'm not trusting God and I'm expecting results and I'm trying to do God's work for Him. Now, I looked at my choices this week that were presented to me by the lectionary. You all know that I choose what I preach from the lectionary. At first, even though I was drawn to this familiar text, I hesitated. I had just used some of this, these last week, these verses. But then, it kind of felt right, so I went with it. You all know that we had a funeral on Wednesday. And then I heard the news about Billy Graham. And the choice of Scripture made sense. The world or my soul. The world or your soul. I know I get really loud sometimes, but it's important. The world or your soul is the choice that lay before each and every one of you. Every person that is ever born on this earth has a choice. The world or their soul. Seems like an easy choice, doesn't it? If we really think it through, it's got to be an easy choice. A soul that will live forever or this fleeting world. A soul that will last through all eternity, either with God or not, or what we can gain in our few years on this earth. Seems like an easy choice. I hear this conversation all the time about, and I'll hear it lots of times whenever it rains a lot. And I'm going to say this sooner or later to somebody. I hear everybody say, boy, it's raining so much, we should just build an ark. You know what I want to say? If I build one, will you get on it? If it rains and it rains and it rains, and you have an ark available to you, will you get on the ark or not? And you know what the answer will be from the world? I'd like to. But what about my house and my car and all the things that I have? And what might happen to them? If I go on that ark to save myself, what about everything that's so important to me in life? But you see, that's the problem. Everything becomes more important in your life than your salvation and your soul. That ark could be sitting there and it could rain for 40 days and people would not get on it. Just like they won't come to Jesus life is still important to him. The world or your soul. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Isn't Peter's frame of mind the same as ours most of the time? "Lord, don't show me the tough road, the hard way, the cold hard facts. Give me something easy. Don't talk to me about death and resurrection. Just tell me how happy I will be in heaven." We don't want to hear about the hardships, the struggles, the work. Peter wanted no part of Jesus leaving him for a moment. No part. Why? Because it would be easier if Jesus just did everything for us. Think about it. Wouldn't we like to have Jesus here with us today? Wouldn't that be easier? Wouldn't it be easier if we could just say, "Jesus, you go out there and witness to them. Jesus, you bring them to the church. Jesus, you go do a bunch of miracles for them. Jesus, you create all the bodies. Jesus, you do all the work so we can just sit here in our nice warm church, happy and singing hymns." Wouldn't that just be easier if Jesus were here and could do everything for us? This is what Peter's thinking. "Jesus, don't you go. Because if you go, then I might have to do something. If you go, the work might be on me." None of us want that, do we? Unfortunately. Human concern. Humans are concerned for the world. God's concern is for the soul. The world or your soul. It's a clear choice. There is no wiggle room. It's a choice that you must make. You must choose whether it will be the world or your soul. You might think that you can walk in the middle of this. You may think that you can go through life and never make this choice. You might think that you can say, "Because I didn't choose, I didn't do anything wrong." But I'm going to tell you, as surely as you are sitting here today, if you do not choose your soul and Jesus, you have chosen the world. You don't get away with not choosing. You're going to choose one or the other. And when you refuse to choose your soul, you've already chosen the world around you. Believe me. Now Jesus is going to get real serious here. He's going to get real serious. For those of you who are faint of heart and only like to hear happy news, you might want to just plug your ears right now. Put your hands over them if you need to. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Now I am sure that at this point Jesus lost some of his followers. I'm sure that he did. You know why? They knew what it meant to carry a cross. They lived in a Roman society. They saw what happened to people who carried crosses. If you were carrying a cross, guess what? Before long, you were going to be wearing it. If you were carrying that cross on your shoulders, before long, you were going to be nailed to it. They knew when Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and carry it to follow me," what he meant was die for me. And at that point, Many of them have to weigh their choices. The world or my soul. And many of them turn and walk the other way. Because this life was way too important to them. If we are only following Jesus for what we can get, for the miracles that he may do, when things get tough, and believe me, they will get tough, we will fall away. They knew where the cross led. We know where the cross leads. It leads to the end of life, as we know. We know what it means to carry a cross. Carrying the cross of Jesus Christ is a struggle. Choosing to carry the cross every day when we go to work, and when we go to school, and when we go out into the world, choosing to carry that cross is a struggle. And it may not mean physical death to you right then, but when you're carrying that cross of Jesus Christ, you'll suffer a lot of death. You'll suffer death of your social life sometimes. You'll suffer death of scorn from people against you because you're carrying the cross of Jesus Christ. Not easy. It's not easy to choose the cross. The world or your soul. Simple. You know, I try to witness to people all the time. I was witnessing to somebody this week, and I had that response that I get back many times from people. He said, "I hear what you're saying. I understand the message. But I'm going to wait for God to do something in my life. I'm going to wait for God to open something up. I'm going to wait for a miracle." What did Jesus tell people when they said that? He said, "Listen, you're not getting a miracle. You know what you're going to get? The story of Jonah and the well, 3 days in the belly. We all know that. But this is what people say. Soon as God does a miracle for me, then I'll believe. As soon as God sends me a sign, I'll believe." And you know what I said? He sent me, baby. I don't know how much of a miracle I am, but he has sent me to you. I've told you the message that you did not have to hear. I would say that's a pretty big miracle. Someone comes to me and tells me that I have to choose the world or my soul. Someone comes to me and tells me, unless I come to Jesus Christ, I am lost forever. I would think that's a pretty big deal. You're waiting for a miracle this morning, folks. You just have one. You just have one. You were told the difference between life and death. You were told that you have a choice. You understand if you want to come to eternal life, what you must do. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Do you understand this? I don't blame a lot of Christians get this. I don't blame you because I make choices every day without thinking they are right for the sake of Jesus and his gospel. This is the only nation in the world where Christianity is declining. Why? Because we have so much, an abundance available to us, and it makes it so easy to choose this life over the gospel of Jesus Christ. The more that's available to you, the more that you can have, the more that you can take in, the harder it's going to be to give it up for Jesus Christ. We have so much. All the Christian churches are all over the world are growing. And we are declining because of how much we have. Now, for some, you may be upset at what I'm preaching today. You may not like these choices. You may not like how black and white it seems. But I invite you to take an honest look at your choices. Every day you choose the world or your soul. Every day when you make decisions in your life and you go into the world, you choose whether or not you're going to follow the world or your soul. Every day it's placed before you, even though your salvation may be secure, you are choosing, am I going to follow the world or am I going to follow what God is speaking to my soul? All of us make that choice probably many times a day. And we must think about how we are choosing. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? I can hear Reverend Graham yelling it right now. What can a man give in return for their soul? What can you possibly get that's worth your soul? Can you answer these questions for me? These are two of the easiest questions in the Bible. They are direct and to the point. They are the bottom line of our faith. It's no wonder that Billy Graham uses them so frequently. Go after the world. Read your history book. Alexander conquered the whole known world. And what became of him? I'll let you read it for yourselves. What became of Alexander the Great, who conquered the whole world? Keep seeking what this world has to offer. And when you die, see if God will take it as payment for your soul. Go after everything you can get right now. Take it all in. Build up your storehouses. Gather everything you can get your hands on. And when you die and stand before God, see if He'll take it in exchange for your soul. I'll tell you right now in a moment. What can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The answer is nothing. The world or my soul. The world or your soul. Mr. Graham's voice echoes in my mind and my heart, and I think his voice will echo through the ages. Are you really going to choose the world? Will you really choose the world? When you leave here today and you forget about what was preached and you go about your own business, you are really choosing the world. Are you really going to choose the world and leave your soul at rest? Is that what you will do? You have a choice. Every person that will ever walk this planet has a choice. The world or your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.